Hare Krishna. Go beyond the extremes of pantheism and deism to the holism of panentheism. Pantheism and deism are two doctrines which envision God's relationship with this world in two distinct ways. Pantheism conveys that God is diffused throughout nature. Pan means everything. So pantheism means God is everything. Or rather, more precisely, everything is God. This means that pantheism envisions as if just the pervasion through nature is is what God is. Now, such pantheism denies any self-existence of God beyond material nature, and it thwarts permanently the human aspiration for transcendence beyond matter. The material existence is time, is finite, limited, and it is unsatisfying. So the human heart naturally longs for existence beyond this mortal, limited material existence. But pantheism thwarts this by saying that there is nothing that exists beyond matter. Now, the other extreme is deism, which conceives God as the starting point of, as the starter of creation, but thereafter he is unconnected with creation. He is a remote first cause who doesn't have anything to do with the universe anymore, just as the clockmaker, after having set a clock, does not have anything to do with the clock thereafter. Now, such a this vision of a distant, remote, unconnected, unconcerned God makes the idea of prayer and divine intervention just comforting fantasies. And praying to such a God or connecting with such a God becomes decidedly unappealing. The Bhagavad Gita avoids both these extremes in delineating a holistic vision of God. The Bhagavad Gita's vision can be best described as panentheism. Panentheism means God extends, God exists in nature and he extends beyond nature. So the Bhagavad Gita talks about the God's presence in nature, his immanence, quite detailed. In fact, it devotes one whole chapter, the 10th chapter, which is called Vibhuti Yoga, to describe how God pervades nature. How all the attractive things in this world manifest a spark of Krishna's infinite splendor, and how he is the all-attractive supreme. How everything attractive can remind us of him. Now, while talking about God's pervasion of nature, the Bhagavad Gita also stresses that God exists beyond nature. He exists in his own personal abode, which is the spiritual world, and there he manifests as all-attractive supreme person who is the source and the reservoir of all love. He is the supreme object of love for us, and in loving him, our heart finds the supreme fulfillment. So, such a vision of God is actually very endearing to the heart, because Krishna, in this understanding as revealed in the Bhagavad Gita, is both immanent and transcendent. And that transcendent becomes immanent because of his affection for us. He descends periodically into this world to elevate us to higher levels of consciousness, towards liberation. And thus Krishna's love for us is undeniable. And when we understand his love for us and we understand his loving pastimes with his devotees, we feel attracted to love him and to move towards him, to attain him. So, the Bhagavad Gita points to this panentheistic understanding of God when it says in 7.19, Bahunam janmana mante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevah sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. So, Bahunam janmana mante, after many lifetimes, jnanavan mam prapadyate, the knowledgeable surrender to me, vasudevah sarvamiti. They understand that Vasudev is everything, samahatma sudurlabha. Such souls are very rare. And the significant pertinent point for us is that they understand Vasudeva to be everything. Vasudeva is Sarvamiti. But they don't surrender to everything. They understand that everything is God in the sense that everything is pervaded by God. But God has a self-existence, and they surrender to that transcendent self-manifestation of God in his personal capacity as Krishna. That's why Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. So the human heart's longing for perfection, for perfect reciprocation of love, is fulfilled when we understand and approach and love this panentheistic revelation of God's glory. Thank you. Hare Krishna.